From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the NBA Playoffs First Round Part 2, as we discuss first round matchups in the NBA in the second week. Website, bleedblueshow.com, podcast tab, audio archive episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. We're going to get the guys on as quickly as possible. Make this a quick episode because, of course, we want to watch the games. Matter of fact, just got finished watching the Hawk-Wizard game, and when it came down to the end of that game, so... Wizards up 3-2 as we speak. Boston Bulls in session, and of course the Western Conference matchup, the Jazz and Clippers to finish out the first round, and Spurs and Grizzlies as well. So quick plugs, Yankees episode, talking Yankees versus the division this week at Boston versus the Orioles. Our audio archive as well on bleedblueshow.com. And of course, if you're a Rangers fan, the NHL playoffs, the Rangers in the second round, NHL playoffs. And last and certainly, but definitely not the least, NFL live draft show as we discuss. We're going to be live 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Thursday show, live during the NFL draft. So let's talk some NBA playoffs. We're going to make this a quick episode because we definitely want to keep tabs on the games, man. Let's see what's going around in the NBA as well. Let's bring on the guys and as it starts, because I'm watching some of this Bulls Celtics game still a little bit early on. But let's bring on Marlo, man. Marlo, what's going on? How's everything?
Hey, what's up, Steve? What's going on, my Blue Boo brethren?
Oh, cool, man. I'm good. Hanging in there, man. I hope all is well with you, man.
Yeah, man. Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. The you know, the playoffs is pretty interesting with a lot of stuff that's going on. So, you know, ready to chop some of that up.
Yeah, we definitely do. Actually, you know what? Since I got you on, because I was wondering myself, I hope I didn't leave any names off the list, because I was kind of wondering. I had to really think about it for the most part. I hope I didn't miss any, but I'm pretty sure I missed one or two net players. But it kills me watching these playoffs, and I'm watching. It seems like every series has a former Nick in the game or something at one point. You know what I'm saying? So I had to go through the list. If I'm missing somebody, say what?
Yeah, somebody tweeted 2 days ago how many former Knicks are in the current playoffs. They counted there were 17 players of that were Knicks.
17 in the playoffs. Hold on. Let me get to the names. I came up with this list right before the show. I got Brandon Jennings, Jason Smith, Tim Hardaway, Jose Calderon, Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Derek Williams, Robin Lopez, Jerian Grant, Trevor Ariza, Zach Randolph, Raymond Felton. If there's 17, who else is up that I did not catch?
Yeah, I'm not in front of my Twitter right now, but I did retweet it yesterday because he has the pictures on it of all the former Knicks and their new team.
Oh,
they're either on that or on Instagram. Yeah, and it was 17 players, they said. Former Knicks are in the playoffs right now. Speak.
Wow. I mentioned him. Hold on. I mentioned him. Did you just see the Hawks in the All right. Yeah, I got him too. Yo, hold on. Marlo, did you see the Hawks Wizard game that just ended about, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago? Did you watch that?
I didn't catch the whole game because I was switching back and forth. But, you know, I was kind of surprised at it, but I'm kind of glad because the Wizards in the previous game, it's like they didn't show up, which I was surprised because I actually thought the series wasn't going to be a 2-2 tie. But, you know, the Wizards woke up. You know, they finally woke up in this game and they took this next game. But, again, I was just a little surprised. I didn't think that this game would, you know, this series would go this long. You know, we still have one more game left. So, you know, the Hawks just showed up. But they have to – they have to get that out their system, you know, if they're going to advance Washington. Because I still believe they will advance. I don't think the Hawks will be able to do anything with them because, you know, that backcourt with them is too good. And Paul Millsap, you know, was just killing Marquise Morris from before. You know, he, like, put the head game on him. And, the previous game, and he got into foul trouble and everything. But now, you know, Washington is trying to get their stuff back because they're using a lot of their guards. And, you know, Schroeder can't do anything with, like, a John Wall or anything like that. So I'm looking for the Wizards to close this out. You know, they got to start fooling around and get it done.
Yeah, to Schroeder's credit, he actually had, I think, about 29 points. He made a lot of his perimeter shots tonight. But as far as allowing John Wall to get deep into the paint as often as he wanted to, whether he converted on layups or passes and assists, John Wall is kind of damn near unstoppable in the series. So maybe the home court is going to kind of play out in this series for the Wizards. But the Hawks showed a little fight at home games 3 and 4, so they're going to have another test game 6. It's actually closer than what I thought, man. But hold on, hold that thought, Marlon. I'm going to come right back. Sure. I'm going to bring on Don his thoughts as far as if you saw that Hawks-Wizards game. And I know he's a big Jazz fan, a big Utah
yes,
Jazz fan. Dominic, what's going on, man? How's that going?
He did say that.
Hey, guys.
Me and Ab picked up the Jazz at 6 anyway. But go ahead. Dominic, what's up, man?
Let's go Jazz. But anyway, you know what, guys? the Wizards and the Hawks may turn out to be the best series. I mean, unless you want to count the Bulls with or without Rondo against the Celtics. But the funny thing about the Hawks is they don't go away. I'm not pulling for them because I want to see Boston play Washington, because I don't think Boston will get out the second round playing them, especially the way they're struggling with Chicago. But the Hawks just don't go away, guys. I mean, even tonight, they only lost by 4 points. Millsap had a good game. The biggest problem with the Atlanta Hawks, guys, and we know it, is Dwight Howard. He's been invisible on offense his whole career. So that's basically like you're playing 4 against 5 on offense. It's sad to see a guy that size with his athleticism and all these years has not developed into no sort of offensive threat. 5 points tonight, guys. 5 points. Only 28 minutes. It's hard to watch, man. But the Wizards are going to win. But I want to see the Wizards play the Celtics. It's shaping up like we talked about last time, guys. 1 playing 4, 2 playing 3. And we'll see what happens after that. I don't think nobody's going to stop Cleveland, but I'm just tickled pink about the Jazz, guys. I don't know if y'all are just talking about the Eastern Conference right now, but y'all know how I feel about Doc Rivers.
Hold on. Can I ask you a question, Doc? Let me ask you a quick question. If the Hawks still had Al Horford, do you think the Hawks – would you lean more Hawks in the series now that he's on Boston? Because you mentioned Dwight Howard is not a no-show. You think it makes a difference if Al Horford would have been there? Because that's pretty much the player swap in all season for that team was to subtract Al Horford, you add in Dwight Howard.
Well, you're getting more offense, but we could almost – if the Hawks would have stood steadfast, guys, and they still would have lost, would we be looking at them like we're looking at the Clippers? You know, how long do you ride this boat until it actually sinks? I mean, they've had the same core of players or that same core of players, guys, for a minute. They flip-flop Teague and Schroeder. They flip-flop Horford with Howard. And they're still they're a contender, guys. I mean, at least they make the playoffs. They give their fans something to root for. That's what I like. And that's what I hate about the word tanking. We can say what we want about Atlanta, and they're going to go down in 5 or 6. But you know what? They got there. You know, and for all intents and purposes, the Wizards maybe could have swept them, got some extra rest. But Atlanta stays competitive, guys. They might not win it all. Only 2 teams are going to get to the championship. So if you prefer your team never to make the playoffs, stay mid-level, stay the bottom of the pack forever, I guess that's an individual fans thing, guys. Y'all know how I feel about that. I'd rather see everybody compete. Because when you look at it, and not to get off course, but if you look at it, Cleveland, Golden State, odds-on favorites to win the championship last year, year before, this year. So what do? Do 28 teams tank and say, we don't really have a chance, so we're just going to tank. So now you got a race to the number one pick? No, you got to put your best foot forward, and Atlanta always does that, guys. You got to give them credit. Remember, if history serves us correctly, the last time the Knicks were close to making the playoffs, them and Atlanta ended up under 500. Atlanta squeaked them out by one game. Atlanta has bettered themselves since that period, while the Knicks have totally declined. So they're competitive, guys. They give you their best shot. I'm just happy. I just want to see the Jazz win the next game, because here's the funny thing that these pundits are talking about. The Clippers are playing without Blake Griffin. Well, guess what? The Jazz played two games without, what's his name, Gobert. They played one game without Hayward, and they're up 3-2. So when do you blow that machine up, guys? Come on. That might be
this season.
Yeah, that, and you know what, Steve? That may be a year or two too late. This should have been blown up. Yeah, it should have been blown up when they lost that 3-1 lead to Houston and got smoked, and
Correct.
They got smoked at home. That's when they should have said, enough is enough. Doc Rivers, you got to go. We got to start somewhere.
Let me add a couple of things to that. We'll bring on another caller and go around the NBA. I think part of the rationale at that time, Dom, when they lost the 3-1 lead to Houston, because remember, they were a franchise. You've been around a long time. That was a franchise that really was so subpar, and any taste of winning in that franchise was kind of good. So it's kind of like they're giving free passes to even 3-1 blown leads. Plus they were going through that situation with that owner as well, with Sterling. So it's kind of like they were a tricky franchise in that aspect, as you know, 3-1 blown leads. You know, they didn't really have any set standards, because they've been such a poorly run team since Buffalo and San Diego, and then moved up to LA in the 80s. So it was kind of like they haven't, you know, any winning, and when the Lakers are losing, it's kind of still good for the Clippers. But now I think they're ready to take the next step.
One quick thing, Steve. Remember, the year before, the Clippers hired Doc Rivers. Vinny Del Negro had the most career wins of any coach, any season for the LA Clippers. And guess what? They have gotten no further under Doc Rivers than they did with Vinny Del Negro.
Correct. That is true.
Because so
they also looked at it like because Doc Rivers won the championship in 07 or 08, so he was kind of the hot coach at that time, and they wanted to give Doc all this power. Del Negro kind of got canned on a bad note, but you're right, man. He won a lot of games too, and they canned him, so good points, man. Also in the series, we're talking about the Raptors up 3-2 on the Bucks. You already know the Warriors swept the Blazers. I mean, they put it on the Blazers in that first quarter. And then also the Cavs swept the Pacers. So right now Spurs and Grizzlies got that series now with the Spurs up 3-2. And Rockets finished off the Thunder. So we're going around the first round playoffs. Let's bring on Lou, get his thoughts, and we go back around tomorrow. Hey, Lou, what's going on talking NBA playoffs? How's everything?
All right.
What's up?
You were right about the Jazz Clippers. I had to be the best series, I think, so far. And I think that I knew the Jazz were going to win it. Clippers kind of tapered off a bit. And right now, I'm doing the Bulls Celtics game. I think with Rondo out, it's now Boston's turn to take control. I mean, since Rondo's been out, Boston has completely turned this series around. And I think the way it's going, I think Boston is going to be able to hold off Chicago and win this series.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add, Lou?
Well, sorry to say that my Knicks are a train wreck and did not get in this year. I wish. I mean, they had so much potential going into the season, and they had just tanked from mid-December on. So that was my disappointment of the season so far.
All right. Let's go back to Marlo. Marlo, other series that we talked about, Clippers, Jazz, Spurs, Grizzlies. Marlon, what's your thoughts on any of the other series that's caught your eye? Fire away.
This thing with Chicago and Celtics really surprised me because first I was, you know, it's almost like Chicago came out and I'm like, man, they're putting it on the Celtics. And of course, you know, might have a little something to do with Isaiah Thomas losing his sister, but it's showing how offensively challenged the Celtics are. And people were starting to question Danny Ainge by not making a move and keeping all these assets. But, you know, that surprised me. But now that Rondo's injured, because it's funny, it's almost like what some people are stating. It's like Rondo during the regular season isn't that great, but for whatever reason, once the playoffs comes, his headlights turn on. You know, all of a sudden we see Rondo. And now that he's injured, you know, that just messed up that whole dynamic. It was swinging one way, and the momentum now just swung right back to the Celtics. So that was surprising to me. I know they were going to try to have Rondo for game six, but there's no way that he could play the next game because not only is the thumb, it's the wrist. Now, also what surprised me is the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, the Grizzlies are like the Clippers as far as I'm concerned. I feel it's time for that team to blow up. They've been together for this long, and they only get so far. I mean, they had success with Lionel Hollins. But I don't know what's going on really with that series. And actually, this thing is showing about maybe two things, that San Antonio series, how LaMarcus Aldridge really is no Tim Duncan because he doesn't play any defense. You know, he's not good, and for whatever reason, he's not acclimating to the system. Because if you have Aldridge and you have Paul Gasol, their defense, they have length, but they don't play good defense. They're both offensive big.
No, don't.
But what's also doing good is it's showing how good Kawhi Leonard is. Kawhi Leonard is just taking off during his playoffs. He's doing everything. He's almost like a one-man show, which it shouldn't be that way. So, I mean, I'm not sure what's happening with that series or why that's going, but it's just, you know, there's a lot of surprises that's going on, which I wasn't expecting in this playoffs because, again, I'm under the impression that it was going to be boring because I said, what's the point? Because it's just going to be, you know, Cleveland and Golden State all over again. And also now the caveat with Golden State is not only with Kevin Durant, now Steve Kerr has health issues. Now, a lot of people feel when you have that much talent that you don't need a coach, but no, you need a coach, especially in playoff time. When playoffs come, that's when coach really earn their money because they have to make a lot of in-game adjustments. And Steve Kerr, he doesn't get credit for this. He's good at making a lot of in-game adjustments because he even did that in the Portland series. You could tell. Like after that first game when he had Lillard Damian Lillard McCollum lit them up. They didn't do that the rest of that series. You know what I mean? So, you know, you need your coach there. So that could be, I mean, they're going to have Mike Brown do it. I believe it's Mike Brown coaching. But there's a lot of interesting little snags that are going on around here. And guys, you know, I can't help it. I'm just hoping for Washington to try to stop Cleveland. My only hope to try to stop Cleveland. You know, but we'll just see how this series goes. But it's a lot more interesting than I thought it would be.
And Dominic, you like to add anything as far as the playoffs or what Marlo said, but with what Lou said, what's intriguing with you, what you've seen with the Jazz Clippers or any other series that you've been paying attention to?
Two quick points. The Grizzlies are like the Hawks. They're going to fight. They're going to scrap. They're going to stay around. They switch coaches. It's still the same, but they still compete, guys. It's not like they're making the playoffs and they're getting swept. They keep knocking on that door, but unfortunately, the teams ahead of them keep getting just better. And let's not forget, Mike Brown brought the Cleveland Cavaliers to the championship with LeBron James, me, you, Marlo, the other guy on the line. So, I mean, he's not a bad coach. That all of a sudden got flip-flopped, guys. Remember, when LeBron left, the Cavaliers just went totally south. That's when they got rid of Mike Brown. That's when they kept tanking. So, I mean, it's not like you're taking a coach, you know, way down on the end of the bench. This guy has some stock. I mean, he's sort of like a Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson was a good coach in Atlanta, came to the Knicks, was a good coach. Unfortunately, the talent and the drive never mixed, whatever. But, again, Woodson led the Knicks to 54 wins. We haven't smelt nothing like that since. And Mike Brown brought the Cavs to the championship. I mean, it's not like you're totally – I understand what Marlo's saying, but if we had somebody stepping in that we didn't know about, Mike Brown's a pretty good coach, guy. We may not agree with it because, of course, he had LeBron, but he still got to the championship. And with Aldridge and Gasol, what I'm seeing from them makes me even more sick about the Knicks, because Gasol and Aldridge remind me of just low post, the opposite of Porzingis. Pretty good offense, no defense. They can't check nobody one-on-one, just like Porzingis. They're good down low, but I just don't think Aldridge, I don't know, when you're on a team like Portland and you're the man and your expectations aren't that great, then it's okay, it's cool. But when you're thrown on a team that expectations are high, sooner or later the real you is going to show up. And he hasn't been a whole hell of a lot of help to Kawhi Leonard. If he'd have just been a smidgen of help to Kawhi Leonard, this series would have been over, guys. Let's be honest. I mean, this is a guy they paid big money for. And what has he actually – I'm not going to, you know, compare money to his output, but when you're getting that kind of money and you got a guy next to you that's steadily rising in the top 10, top 5 players in the NBA like Kawhi Leonard, you got to help out. You got to step up. The Gasol thing, he is what he is at his age. Aldridge is the disappointment. The Spurs should have wrapped this series up if Aldridge would have been just semi consistent. You know, I'm pretty sure Kawhi Leonard's out there saying, "Hey, bud, you want to give me some help here?" I'm just saying,
yeah,
he's getting.
It's not often the Spurs sign a free agent to that type of contract either, because they've been
exactly
a franchise of stability for so long. Like when they sign Aldridge, I mean, that's kind of like almost damn near new territory for Popovich, because they bring in pieces around Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker for a long time, and they pretty much got Kawhi Leonard for peanuts from Larry Bird. So it kind of fell and hit to his lap. So you could almost damn near give San Antonio a pass for a bad signing. But, you know, as you already know, Don, Marlo, and Lou, San Antonio, they run a system. So I know Aldridge already knew the no state income tax playing in the state of Texas, and you knew you're not going to get those same numbers in Portland. Just like you said, you just show up, be a smidgen of yourself, and you'll be all right in this system. He'll be fine if he just comes to play, you know?
Not to mention they lost the greatest player in Western civilization history in Boris Diaw. I mean, we could laugh and joke about Diaw, but when he's on
helping the Jazz.
Exactly. Thank you. I was getting ready to say that. You know, and again, before I go, everybody's bashing, you know, why didn't Hayward take the last shot? Why is Joe Johnson is Joe Johnson, man. He's done this his whole career.
Yes, it is.
Because you're the highest paid player on the team, do you have to be the one to take that final shot? You got Joe Johnson.
That's why he brought him in.
Exactly. Thank you, Steve. It's no comparison. Hayward's a better player at this point in his career. But Joe Johnson's Joe Johnson. He's always been Joe Johnson. So that's kind of weird. But I'll tell you what, guys. That's one hell of a little outfit they put together in Utah. The sad thing is economics, geographics. How long is that going to stay together? That's the sad part of the NBA. This team could be something if they was able to stay together for just a couple of more years. They've knocked on the door. Now they got in the door. And now it's almost time for Hayward's probably going to sign somewhere else. And it's sad to see, man. That's a good little thing they got going out there in Utah. Oof.
No, not necessarily. I think they could probably still keep it tight. It takes a while for these programs to be built, as you already know, Don. But at the same time, remember the waning years of Jerry Sloan, and they were going through after Stockton, the moment, they went through a rough patch in the 2000s, trying to rebuild that thing together. I think they found their guy in Snyder, He was an excellent college coach. And then they finally put a right mix of veterans around that young talent, go around Gobert, and they brought in veterans like George Hill and Boris Diaw and Joe Johnson. I mean, and they play their roles perfectly. And there's not too many players in the NBA that I would have ahead of Joe Johnson for taking the final shot. Joe Johnson probably would be in my top, probably in my top five, honestly. Not maybe say top five player. I'm talking about game on the line. I want somebody to take a final shot. I might go to ISO Joe, man. There's not a lot of people I trust.
Do they keep Hayward, though? That's the thing.
I think they'll try. They'll try. Oh, absolutely. They'll definitely try, man. They haven't been relevant in so long, man. He's a player who came out of Butler. I didn't see this coming out of him when he came out of college. I mean, I thought he was an okay player in college, but did not see this. His development is crazy.
And remember what I told you last time, Steve? That was going to be the thorn in the Clippers' side. When you match up and match up, who was going to – I asked this 2 weeks ago. Who's going to match up with Hayward? That was the elephant in the room.
They don't have anybody.
Good point.
They don't have nobody.
They didn't really – yeah, exactly. And it's showing now, ain't it?
I think Abatamute is overrated as hell. I don't know why he's always on the court. You already know Paul Pierce is washed up. I just didn't see, and they have all these other guys that's riding the pie. I didn't see someone they could really put up on him as well. Let me go back to Lou, and then we'll go back around and get some final thoughts on the playoffs. Hey, Lou, you been watching any other series? What about Raptors-Bucks? Did you see the way the Rockets finished off the Thunder?
Yeah, I did see the
Rockets. What else is on your mind?
Thunder.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it would be nice to see if Westbrook was going to carry it through, but I guess in the end, Rockets were just too strong. They got too much offense. You got Harden, and I was pulling for Westbrook though, but I guess their team won. Dear.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the Blazers losing to the Warriors, I'm not surprised at all. Lillard isn't because he thinks he is. He thinks he was going to beat the Warriors. No. He was shooting his mouth off. He got way too obsessed in thinking they're going to beat him. And it cost him.
That's a little bit of hometown pride, though, Lou. I mean, he is from Oakland. He grew up a Warriors fan. A lot of those Oakland players, and historically in the NBA, like Gary Payton, Damian Lillard, Jason, like those guys who grew up in that Oakland area, they talk a lot of smack. That's just part of their nature, man. That's just part of who they are. These basketball players that come out of that Oakland area, man, they always ran their mouths, man. Everybody remembers Gary Payton and how he got down.
Even me.
Oakland player.
Even I do too, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how they roll, man. They probably grew up as Warrior fans and just try to get their team tight, man, and try to get around them. Have you been paying attention to the Bucks and Raptors as well, or just off your radar?
A little bit more. I'm not a big fan of the Bucks that much. I pay more attention to the Raptors. That seemed to be a tight series. Bucks,
uh-huh.
I call them the Yucks. I mean, that team was always a joke for many, many years. And I think this is continuing to be a competitive series. But I still think the Raptors.
Yeah, so the Bucks are going to have to find some chances.
Yeah, I still think the Raptors are going to pull it out, though.
You said. Yeah. I go to Marlo. Marlo, can we get some final thoughts? NBA playoffs, anything? You go ahead. Take your time and go to Dom and then Lou, and we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I do have to say too with the Clippers, and don't give me that excuse that Blake Griffin is out. The Clippers have just been, they haven't been good since Doc Rivers has taken over. He's not a good GM. They have to either fire him as a coach or fire him as a GM more than fire him as a coach, and he's probably not going to do that. But it's just not working. It's time for that team. They got to part ways with Blake Griffin or something. Something's got to give. And, you know, it's still messed up that, you know, my Knicks aren't in the series. And even though, like I said, the playoffs has some interesting twists to it, you know, either because of injury or what have you, it still makes it kind of messed up that we still feel that it's going to be LeBron, you know, it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State once again for the trifecta. You know, I'm hoping, you know, one of the best things I feel that could happen for an NBA playoff is have some, you know, an upset. You know, I think we're all ready for an upset, at least for Cleveland, because, I mean, come on, LeBron has done it. I know it's two different teams, but this could be his possible seventh year making it to the finals in a row. That's just ridiculous. You know, you want to see something different.
Right.
Unless you're a big LeBron fan. And, you know, again, it's still sad and disappointing that my Knicks probably aren't going to be close to this. But, and I also got to say this. You know, Carmelo Anthony's got to be sitting home. And a lot of these teams, he could help just about every team that's in the playoffs right now that's not Golden State. If he's on that team, he'd be able to take them to the next level. He still has that in him. He's going to have the summer off. And I'm telling you guys, as much as I'm a Melo fan, I'll be very, very disappointed if he signed back up, if he stayed with the Knicks. Because it's just not happening. It's just not happening with the Knicks. I know it's going to be a lot of moving and dealing if he wants to go to another team, but you can't tell me the Celtics or Washington or the Clippers or Oakland, OKC, or Cleveland. You know, his talents can be used, and he should be tired of being home and watching playoffs instead of playing in the playoffs. So I'm just hoping something changes here. But again, guys, you know, there have been a little things that's been different going into these playoffs, but, you know, it's still like that foregone conclusion, which is kind of unfortunate to the NBA. And shout out again to everybody, and Steve, Bleed Blue Show, thank you again for everything.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming on to talk sports with us, talk NBA. That's just why we're here. We get to hear from real fans like yourself, Dominic and Lou, week to week. And it's nothing like it, man, where we get to speak our thoughts and our opinions on audio as well, so we can share with the masses, man. It's nothing like the Blue Blue Show, man, week in and week out. We thank you, Marlo. Appreciate it. And you're absolutely right about Carmelo. It's got to be killing him. You heard me read up off like 10 former Knicks that are playing in the playoffs. It's pretty much been on the roster like the last 2 years.
Yeah,
you're right, man. He needs, exactly. You know, he needed to get some playoffs. I mean, if you want to really boost up some ratings, man, put some player of his caliber on somebody's team and that make it work, man. You're absolutely correct, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dominic and get his final thoughts. Dominic, your final thoughts on the NBA, the playoff series, anything? Raptors, Bucks on your mind, or Bucks, Bulls? I mean, Bulls, Celtics, anything on your mind? Fire away.
Here's the thing. And a lot of you know I'm not an individual Melo fan. I have grown to like him, especially what he's gone through. And Marlo was absolutely correct. Here's the weird thing. We always looked at Melo as the Michelin man, not good shape. Other than that 1 year with his knee, Blake Griffin has missed more games in a half a season than Melo has missed his entire career with the Knicks. But they keep rolling the dice and thinking this guy is going to be the next whatever. But the funny thing about the playoffs, guys, that a lot of Knicks fans should really sit back and think about, we have a six seed who's the Bucks, still in the playoffs, didn't get swept. We got an eight seed still in the playoffs, didn't get swept. And you want to resort to tanking. And you know what? Like Marlo said, the foregone conclusion of Cleveland and Golden State, it is getting absurd. And guess what? We're talking about this on a day that ESPN is laying off hundreds of employees. ESPN is owned by Disney, who also owns ABC, who also runs the NBA Finals, who also fell short last year when the World Series had a higher rating than the NBA Championship, but you're still telling us this is the championship to see. These are some of the reasons why Disney is making these cuts, because we all know it's about ratings and getting sponsors and getting commercials and trying to get some of your money back. I think a lot of fans are like a lot of us on the phone. We're tired of seeing the same old thing. The NBA can't sell us on a $200 league pass package get their money, but then convince us that Cleveland Golden State is the next best thing, the peanut butter and jelly, and we've seen it for the last 2 years. And the ratings are going down, guys. You know, people could speculate about why Disney's making these cuts. Disney made it clear. They're losing money. They're losing a lot of money between ESPN. And that's because people aren't tuning in. Be honest, guys. You have to be a really diehard basketball fan to want to see, to sit back on these nights when Golden State is playing Cleveland, when we just saw it. Is your big gut to say, oh, man, I saw Durant win a championship? Really? Come on, guys. This movie has been played out too long now. I know it's happened before in the NBA with the Lakers and the Celtics, but we're in a new era now. People are very fickle. People don't want to see the same thing. We want to see change. But at the rate we're going, guys, we might not just see it this year. We might see it next year. But for all the people that buy into this tanking, look at Memphis. Look at Milwaukee. Look at Utah. Look at the Bulls, who everybody had for dead. The Wizards, everybody had for dead, 30-something games into the season when they couldn't get out their way. They didn't tank, and they're still competing, guys. They're still in the playoffs. So people that buy into that tanking, good luck, because you're doing nothing but setting your franchise back 3 to 4 more years. And the Bucks and other teams are proving that now. It would have been easy for the Bucks to say, hey, you know what, we don't want to make the playoffs this year. Parker got hurt again. Or when Middleton got hurt, we'll think about next year. The Hawks, when they was having that semi-yard, saying, we'll call it a season. They didn't. And that goes back to having some kind of pride and really being concerned with your fan base. Does your fan base really want to see this? I'm not one of those guys. You know, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but look at what's going on right now. They're interesting games, and they're teams that we probably didn't even think would make the playoffs, let alone not get swept in the playoffs. This is our catch now. But at the end of the day, if you still have Golden State and Cleveland, you're showing us the same movie. And Disney had got tired of it, so they got to get their money back somehow, some way. And the best way to show profit is to cut salary. I learned that a long time ago in one of my economics classes. And that's what Disney's resorting to now, guys. It's sad to see it, but they put their eggs in too many baskets, and the ratings ain't proven that the eggs were worth putting in that basket. So, I just want to thank you again, Steve, Marlo, my man. It's always a pleasure, guys. And you know what? God bless Carmelo Ant. Please, bless him and send him somewhere else.
All right, man. That's for the guys, man. For Marlo and for Dominic and for Lou here on the Bleed Blue Show, NBA playoffs, the first round, the second week we discussed. Next week we'll get into the second round. So get to hear the guys speak on the first round. So, let me say something real quick. I think the Raptors should finish off the Bucks in 6. Do not extend that series more than you have to. Move on to the next round. I thought they played well in Game 5 at home. They have done a good job as far as getting a good balance all across the board from Ibaka, Lowry, DeRozan. Everybody's kind of contributed. Joseph, Patrick Patterson. The Raptors have done a good job in that Game 5. They really took the Bucks out of the game. I think they probably could finish the job in Game 6. It was a nice little team for the Bucks as well. We already talked about the teams that already got passed, like Cleveland and Golden State. Don Conley already alluded to that. But we're on to the second round, man, for next week on the Bleed Blue Show, talking NBA playoffs. And our episodes, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher. Please, everybody, whoever listens to the show, we thank you. But definitely share with your friends and family. Even send your inbox messages to us so we can read it off, as we've done in several shows. And we could, even if you're not shy, come on and talk with us. So for Marlo and Dominic and myself on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, the NBA playoffs, first round, second week, sangre azul. Guys, enjoy the games. We'll be back next Wednesday to discuss more NBA playoffs. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.